Time certainly has changed. Nowadays, every ship in the ocean has a GPS, global positioning system. With that, they can know exactly where they are and where they're heading to. The ship navigator in about 70 years ago, they did not have that kind of luxury. They did not have a satellite that they can use. So they had to rely on the compass to help them to navigate the sea and so that they know where they are, where they're heading to. They are using this compass. Why the compass? Because it showed them where the north is. Why it would always point the north? Because it was pointing to the magnetic field that when Earth was made up. God put the magnetic field in the northern pole so that every time where you point to have a compass, you can know where the north is. With that, they can position themselves. So is the Christian love. Nature of God is love, and a person who knows God and been born of God is respond to God's nature. In other words, as the compass naturally respond to the nature of God, naturally respond to the nature of the earth, pointing to the north. As a born again Christian, our heart, our attitude showed the love of Jesus Christ, the nature of God. That is should be natural response, not forced response. Believer's love for the brethren is a natural response of God's love for us. Before the Apostle John that talked about the knowing God through love, he is giving us a clear instruction and a stern warning about the doctrines that comes in our ways, how to handle those things. We'll start at the verse 1. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive and to know more about you, to know about you through your love. Your love does not comes in way that we would expect. Your presence, your work itself is love. Let us learn from you to love one another that other people see Jesus in us. And we also pray for those who risk their lives for our freedom and the safety. We're asking you to watch over them, our troops, the law enforcement around this community and the firefighters. Keep your hands up on them and mostly, they may come to know you. They themselves have eternal security, eternal safety. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is now already in the world. Apostle John warns us that against the believing every spirit at every whim. The Lord never contradict his word, the Bible. You know, so if there is anyone comes to you, say that, well, I have this personal revelation from God, and he tells you. But if that whatever that person is telling you, contradicting the word of God, do not believe. How many Christian people are duped by this kind of thing? Because every time there's a new wind of doctrine, the people go line, hook, line, and sinker. Because they don't think about putting the new doctrine against this word. Good example is the Holy Left movement. I'm sure some of you heard. And the prosperity gospel, or the known as Kansas prophet. How about this? 88 reasons for the 88. Have you ever heard that? The 88 reasons why the rapture would happen in 1988. He sold millions of copies. And after that, well, he said, oh, calculation was a little wrong, so it will be 89. He sold more copies. And now those copies in the bottom of the birdcage. Folks, those kinds of window doctrine come and go. Whenever you hear something, put it against the Word of God in context. They say, well, I use the Bible. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there is this word said that Judah hung himself. Does it mean that we should encourage suicide? No. We should put it in context. Those people who got involved with this kind of new wind of doctrine, they get confused because the bottom line shows the truth. And they even walk away from God. If they have taken advice from Apostle John, they wouldn't be in that kind of mess. Today, there's a lot of curiosity about the knowing true Jesus, especially among the university and college professors. They said that they like to discover this new, the real, true Jesus. However, they said that Jesus in the Bible is not real Jesus. This is a myth. And a great example of that is the Da Vinci Code. They tried to say, well, there's a real Jesus. It's not the one in the Bible. It's nothing more than make-up story. Let's go to the verse 4 in chapter 4 in 1 John. You are God and little children and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than, is who in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and their world hears them. And we are of God, and he who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 4:4 is one of those verses all the Christians should memorize in their heart. For the sake of comfort and the peace in their heart. Knowing that third person in the Trinity is residing, indwelling in our heart wherever we go, that is totally awesome thing. All the demons and the enemies of God cannot do a thing against us unless they are allowed by God himself. Anything happen to you, any disaster things happen to you, are granted by God, is permitted by God. The believer has a resource for the victory. It's a vital presence of an indwelling spirit of God, which makes a victory always possible. If we rely on him who is in us instead of relying on ourselves. Whether you like to agree with me or not, anyone who is in the who is not a children of God is enemy of God. You may say, well, I know I haven't received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. That doesn't mean I'm an enemy of God. Let me put it this way. I'm going to put it very mildly, according to the Bible. You are for God or you are against God. Either you are with him or you are not with him. So if you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that means you are not with him. That means literally you are against him. That's what the Bible says. As we grow in the Lord, the more and more I find out that there's less and less common subject to talk about with the non-believers. Yes, I can talk about weather, I can talk about sports, I can talk about general subject, but there's nothing we can talk in depth. Did you notice that? You no longer have that common subject because the reason is because you are with God and they are with the world, and that is world that belongs to Satan. Before we go to the next verse, I must talk about the doctrine of a Christian demonization. Some people, during the 1980s, when Frank Peretti wrote a book, This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness, great book, nothing wrong with those books. However, some people took it to the end of the spectrum, and they come up with this demonology and angelology. So they talk about angel, they talk about the demon stuff so much that they made their own doctrine. And they also insist that the Christian can be demon-possessed. Folks, Holy Spirit does not share the our heart like a duplex and saying hello to each other with a demon in our heart. Either you are taken by Holy Spirit or you are taken by demons. There's nothing in between. I'm glad Bible makes it very clear to us we are the property of Jesus Christ when we come to know Jesus Christ. That means we are literally possessed by Holy Spirit. That means we can be oppressed. Christian can be oppressed or harassed by demons, but we cannot be possessed by the Holy Spirit and demons. Let's go to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, and not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The third of the three expressions that Apostle John talks about is the first one we find in is God is Spirit, that we find in John chapter 4, verse 24. Also, we find that God is light in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Now, we have here another one says God is love. Does it mean these three, God is Spirit, God is love, God is light, does it mean it gives a complete revelation, complete description of God? No, it does not, but we cannot separate those things. Let me explain what it means. God is love. That doesn't mean that love is God. Correct? Love does not define God. However, God defines love. God is love and God is light. We cannot separate those things. And therefore, God's love is Holy One and His holiness is expressed in love. All that God does express all that He is. Even His judgment, His mercy is governed out of the love. Good example, Lamentation chapter 3. His mercy renews every morning. He could simply say, well, you use up all your quota of the mercy, you're out. I'm going to judge you now. He could say that, but he said, guess what? And my mercy is new again. We cannot wear out of His mercy. He's always there for us. He's a merciful God. Typical concept of love, especially in America, is what? Sex. But God's love is much different. There is no resemblance. The world's idea of the love has any resemblance or the relation to the holy and righteous love of God. Love is a valid test of true Christian faith. Not only have we been born of God, but also we know Him through our love for Him. In the Bible, the word know is rather different than just our concept of idea of knowing. The knowing is a kind of simple intellectual acquaintance or the understanding. However, in for Genesis chapter 4, it says, chapter 4, verse 1 says, Adam knew Eve. It represents intimate union. No, so in other words, the Bible talks about knowing. It's a little bit more than just idea of hello, I know you. Okay, to know God means to be in a deep relationship with Him, to share the joy, to share and enjoy His love. Knowing is just not simply a matter of understanding the fact, but it's a matter of perceiving the truth, deeply understanding. True love is not static or inactive. God reveals His love to mankind in many ways. He provides all these things around us for us. He geared all creation to meet our needs. But the greatest expression of God's love is on the death of His Son. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, please. Some of you guys already know by heart. Romans 8, 5. I'm sorry, 5, 8. Flip-flop. What's the difference? Just kidding. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we are still sinners, while we are still enemy of God, Christ died for us. It's not just, as I said before many times, it's not just martyr or he got killed. He sacrificed Himself for our sins. Sending Christ to the world and His death on the cross is not prompted by the man's love for God. No, it's His love for man. However, what was the attitude of mankind toward the death of Jesus Christ? It's anything but love. When we realize what we have in Christ, what we receive from Him, it's not that difficult for us to love one another with the love that we'll get to have from Him. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Apostle John relates the basic principle about God the Father. No one has seen Him. In my stupidity, I've read some of the Christian books that declare that they've seen God the Father in their personal revelation. Because I was young, I was immature, I did not know the difference. I thought, wow, that's cool. Maybe I'll see Him someday when I become a little bit, become a super Christian. You know, one of those SC you have under your shirt so you can come out from the phone booths. There's no such a thing as a super Christian who can see the Father in heaven. According to my Bible, according to your Bible, no one has seen. That means no one has seen in Greek words, same way. Folks, if they tell you they've seen God and the Father and do not believe, because it's against the word. They will come up with any excuse to tell you that they have a special revelation. They don't. If you notice that in a particular word that keep on popping up here for six times, in this from verse 12 to verse 16, there's one word. What would that be? Abide. Abide in Christ. It refers to personal fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. To abide in Christ, it means to remain spiritual oneness with Him so that the sin would not come between us. To have a oneness with Christ, oneness with God, we have to eliminate the sin between us. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is power or His popularity or passionable things. No. The greatest evidence of God's presence and work, it is love. Where God is present and God is working, there is His love. In our case, the love of God is shown through the other members, shown through us to other members of God's family, whether that person deserves to receive it or not. Just like we will not deserve to receive God's love from the first place. God's love shown on the cross, God's love shown on His death, and it exalted in the resurrection. Now we have that love in our heart. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can express, we can spread that love of God to other people. There are two things that in our indwelling Holy Spirit does for us. Number one is He helps us abide in the love of God through the Word of God. Second thing is He bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and give us this assurance. It's so important to have that assurance. If you don't have that assurance, knowing that you are a child of God, you have to examine your heart, whether you are truly born again Christian or not. Let's go to verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because of the He is, so are the we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because the fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. On the line of verse 19, please. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love the God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. If you're like me, I'm sure you heard somebody saying that, when I get to heaven, I have few questions to answer to God. He's going to answer me. I doubt that would happen. When we get to heaven, by grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, we are not going to go to God with that arrogance in our heart and demand answers from our puny questions. We're going to worship Him. We're going to adore Him. We'll be busy doing that. The only way we can have a boldness in the day of judgment is receiving Jesus Christ right in our heart, right now. And some people say, well, I'll do it later. Or some people say, after I die, my relative will pray for me so I can get my way up to heaven. If that's the case, let's look at the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Of course, some of you already know this verse, and you can use this verse against the New Age movement people or anyone who believe in reincarnation. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed for man to die 40,000 times. Did it say that to you in your Bible? No, it says once. But after this, the judgment. Some people, like Shirley MacLaine, who believe that in her former life she was a Russian prince. Not princess, a Russian prince. Now she's a woman. Weirdo, that is. Folks, there's no reincarnation. There's no one who is coming back. There's no one. If you do the bad things, you will come back as some bug. You'll do good things, you'll come back with some other life. That's hogwash. We have to adopt this. We kind of adopted the Greek word for the fear is known as phobia. Of course, you guys know the acrophobia is the fear of the height, and hydrophobia is known as for the fear of the water. There's one that Apostle John is talking about. It's a Christophobia. That means a fear of judgment. That's the one he's talking about. I have a fear too. I have this horrible phobia against chocolate chip cookie. So to overcome that thing, I eat a lot of chocolate chip cookies. If people are afraid because something in the past is haunt them. It's something in the present because it upset them. It's something in the future they feel they are threatened by. Or maybe all three combined. As a born-again Christian, you don't have to have that phobia or the fear because your sins in the past have been forgiven by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Your present sin is forgiven by God, and your future sin has been forgiven by God. It's also you being perfected day by day. As you come to Him, you ask Him to forgive your sin, make it right with Him. Keeping a short account with Him is a very important thing. We can never forget the verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. It's not that we could offer Him anything to our God. Spiritually, we are bankrupt. Materially, we have nothing. I haven't seen anyone who can pave the street with the gold. Even the Bill Gates, who has $41 billion, could not pave his street in Seattle with the gold. But our God does. Spiritually, materially, emotionally, we are bankrupt, but He loves us. He's wonderful and glorious in His grace. He extends love toward us. Let me put it this way. Jesus loved us while we are living ungodly, carnally. Jesus loved us while we are neglecting His word. And I've known some people who tear up this in Bible pages and roll up the cigarettes with that page and smoke. And while our knees are bent in prayer, and some of us deliberately fought against God. And some of us standing at the very gate of hell and drank the damnation to the last drop. God still loved us. And some of you are thinking that, well, I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. I didn't do anything like that drastic. If you're thinking that, that is pure arrogance in a spiritual way. And some of you even thinking that, well, I can make my way to heaven, as a matter of fact, since I am a good man. No, you can't. If you think that you can go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ, that is a pride in it. Pride is the biggest sin in God's eyes. Or you might be even ridiculing what I've been talking about. You're thinking that, well, this is a baloney. This is not something I can accept. I don't believe what you said. You can believe all you want. You can deny gravity, but gravity still exists. Truth is absolute. Truth is not relative. Truth is not negotiable. God is the creator of the universe, and God owns your life. God owns my life. Unless a person accepts Jesus Christ into his own heart or her heart, that person will never be able to experience the love of God in the full maximum way. There is only one way to get to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ. No one else, and nobody else, and nothing else. Let's make an application. Number one, the better we know God's love, the easier it will be to live as a Christian. Bible knowledge alone does not cut it. You can memorize the entire Bible. Do you know who knows the Bible better than any one of us? That would be Satan. He can quote it backward if he wants to in Greek. Does it mean he's saved? He's not saved. Knowledge of Bible doesn't mean a thing. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Piedmont Community College and a religion professor will be able to quote the Bible better than you and I put together. Does it mean he's saved? Unless he has Jesus Christ in his heart, he is not saved. Simple Bible knowledge itself is a dangerous thing to have if you don't carry that thing from here to here. Unless it's sinking into that person's heart, the Bible knowledge itself is more dangerous than ever before. Why? Because now you know. You're accountable for that what you know. Second application, unless we love the non-believers, our verbal testimony to them will be useless. Folks, the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, is a message of love. It's kind of useless for us to talk about the love of Jesus Christ unless we show them, unless our action speaks. St. Francis of Assisi said, spread the gospel. If you have to, use the word. That means our actions should evangelize about Jesus Christ more than any other way. The word we speak about the testimony of our life, what the Jesus did in our lives, it should be just substitute, not the main method. Third application. When we realize that what we have in Christ, what we receive from Him, is not that difficult for us to love one another, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. Kind of look at each other, especially across the room. If there's anyone whom you don't like in this midst, and or you think about other people who are no longer with us or across America, you know that person is brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, and you despise that person, you are wrong. We are in wrong when we do that. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. Didn't Jesus say if you have a problem with your brother, before you come to the altar, put your sacrifice on the altar, go make it right with that brother, and come back and put the sacrifice. That's my rendition. Folks, make it right with your brothers and your sisters. If you're holding the grudge, that person is not the one who is suffering. As I said before, you are the one who is suffering. Make it right, then come to God and show the love of Jesus Christ to other people. And God will receive your sacrifice. God will receive your love because it means what it means. Let's stand up and pray.